Hear, saints, grace, mercy, and peace with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You remember, as kids, one of the things that made you feel extra special was when you had some sort of secret, whether between you and your best friends at school, like a secret handshake, or something fun that they, you know, was just a good laugh between you. It was always fun to have that sort of secret going on. And it was even fun when adults would give you, like, something, nothing mind-blowing or nothing that would harm anybody, but something fun to keep from somebody, maybe a surprise party or a special gift or a special event that you would eventually share with people and the great joy there was. And we had one of these moments with Toby when he was younger, when we found out about Ronan. We had many years where we could not conceive, and the Lord finally gave us Ronan, but we weren't sure where things were going. And so it wasn't something we could keep a secret from him because we had things to talk about and figure out and all that. Not that he was in every conversation, but he could overhear it. And so we shared with him the great news that Mom was pregnant. And we said, but it's a secret. You can't tell anybody. Not anybody at church, not anybody at Dad's work, not anybody, not Grandma, not Nana, not Papa, nobody. But one day we will tell them and you can help us tell them. And it'll be really exciting. And so as we figured out that everything was okay and that Ronan was doing good and all that, at that time we didn't even know his name yet. It was still all being figured out. But the Lord had provided and things were good. And one day it came and we said, it's time to share the secret. And he was so excited. We called up Grandma and Nana and Papa. He got to share this great news with them, with us. And it was a wonderful blessing to share with his grandparents and great-grandparents, and it was just a good, wonderful gift. Now, some secrets don't start out that way. Some things become secret when people forget what has been told to them. It's kind of like that game of telephone when you're a kid on a string with the can on one end and the can on the other, or you go down the line and you're telling each other something, and somewhere along the way between the cans or between the ears, the message gets lost, and what wasn't a secret is now a secret. I remember when I was in grade school, the teacher wanted to tell us that the next day we're gonna have a pizza party. But she picked the perfect kid who could both be excited but also not scream it out loud, but pass it quietly from one kid to the next. And by like the third kid, somewhere the pizza party went from it being, we're gonna have a pizza party tomorrow, to the teacher's gonna buy pizza for dinner or something like that. And the secret that was so exciting, that wasn't a secret, had been lost through our ears. Well, for God's people, this is what happened with the promise of the Savior. They were given this promise by God from Adam and Eve, was passed generation to generation. And over time, they either thought, well, I guess it's not happening, or they didn't share with one another. And then during the times that things were quiet from the Lord as they waited the Savior's birth, people forgot what it meant that the Savior was coming and that the Savior was for all people. And so there became some misunderstandings where, oh, it's only going to be the people of Israel that are going to be saved, and the Gentiles, they're evil, we shouldn't have anything to do with them, and God would never save them, and all of this stuff. Yet the prophet Isaiah and the psalmist, as we see, talks about how God's word goes out to the whole world, and the Savior is going to die for all of them, for everyone, both the people of Israel and those from the farthest reaches of the world. It even says that there will be a great many camels coming to visit. It gives a prophecy of the wise men coming from the east. Now, we don't know the exact number of wise men. The tradition passed down by some, such as the historian Josephus, because of the number of gifts, you know, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, that there are three wise men. We don't know the actual number, but we know that with them came camels and other animals, a big grouping of such. And they came for one purpose, to find the King, the Savior promise of old, as given in the Word of God, as they study the stars and the prophecies of the great prophets of the world. The Lord brought them faith when they heard his word. And what wasn't a secret wasn't a secret for them. And they were surprised when they got to Bethlehem that for Herod this was a secret. He didn't know it. But he was also more worried about himself than he was about what this meant. And it made sense. Herod, you know, was serving under those in charge of the empire. And so here it is that this promise of a king was threatening to his rule and his authority. He was worried about his own skin. It even says here of Herod that he was very worried and this troubled him. And it troubled all of Jerusalem as well. Herod took this worry he had and he made sure everybody else felt it with him. All his people serving under him and the whole of Jerusalem could understand that Herod was concerned. And so the wise men give him the information. The word of God is shared, and yet Herod still doesn't believe, and he tries to trick them. Well, tell me where he is when you find out, and I'll do what you're doing. I'll go and worship him too. But really, Herod had more insidious reasoning. He wanted to kill him. And yet, the Lord provides. He shows the star again. And they follow with great, exceeding joy, the excitement that God has kept his promises in his love. And so there it is, they go forth to see the Savior face to face in the flesh of mankind as promised. He's the great King, the Messiah, the one promised of old that they were looking for. A little boy in a house with his mom. A little bigger than a baby at this point, but they moved from the manger in the stable into a house so that Mary and Jesus can continue to rest, and then they're going to return home to Nazareth. And yet, their story would continue because of Herod's insidious, murderous wanting, that they would have to go to Egypt for a little while, and then back to Nazareth. For the king killed many innocent children. And so, here it is. God's word brings faith, and his love pours out to the nations. That there he, our God, would come into our flesh so that he could bear our sin and pull us out of the darkness. That darkness that hid his word and made the promise a secret and the truth hidden. Now the light of the Savior shines and brings what wasn't supposed to be a secret to come to light. That there, the promise to God's people and to the world of the one who would be born of the Virgin, the Savior, the Messiah, would now be shared with the whole world. And that through the lineage of the people of Israel would come the Savior, who redeems the world, who redeems each and every one of you, for his body and blood were given and shed for you. And there in him you have forgiveness, in him you have salvation, in him you are heirs with him of eternal life, and it is yours. And his light will not stop shining and quenching the darkness. There he gives you a light that will never end. The light of his salvation, his righteousness, and his love. St. Paul gives it to us this way. You see, St. Paul, he had lived in that darkness. He understood how bad the darkness of sin and death were, because when he was a Pharisee and he went by the name Saul, just as the Lord renamed Abraham, here the Lord renamed Saul Paul. And Saul had been living and serving as a Pharisee in the temple. He had the word of God there in front of him. And yet, what was written, he tossed aside. And he heard what the high priest and the chief priest and all of them would say of the lineage of people of Israel, and how it served their own self-righteousness and their own thoughts of salvation. And when he heard of a Savior who had come and died, he didn't believe it. Instead, he said, "Oh, those people, they're troublemakers, they're lying, they're just trying to take our authority." And so, those who believed in the Savior and followed Jesus were put to death by him. He was there at the stoning of Stephen and at the deaths of many at his own hands and the leading of those who would help. And so one day along the road to Damascus, the Lord would knock him to the ground and blind him and give him a great vision that showed him the promise of the Savior from the very beginning to the day that Christ returns and ushers his people into his kingdom. And this is what he's talking about here. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This mystery, this once forgotten prophecy given to Isaiah and the other prophets, was no longer lost. But here, St. Paul, who once would have thought the Gentiles were condemned forever to the lake of fire, now were bringing the gospel. And there they were saved, not by his work, by the work of the Savior, who died for him, and died for you, and died for them. And there, the darkness was no more. There the light of Christ shines, that his love would be known to the entire world, and his light will shine forever. And there it is, as he says this, "Of this gospel I was made minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him." Dear brothers and sisters, this light that is Jesus is given to you that you'd receive forgiveness, that in him you would know there is salvation, freedom from the darkness of sin, death, and Satan's tyranny, and that slavery we once were bound in. But now, there it is. From that darkness, he pulls you out as he did with St. Paul. And there he comes to you, working his holiness and his righteousness through his word and by his spirit as you hear it, and he gives you faith, that there you would have access to your God who was once hidden by the darkness of sin. Now with the light of Christ shining forth, you may find that you have confidence that your God has come in the flesh, that he is with you, and his light will shine forever, and one day you will see his face there in his kingdom, which has no end. Having moved a few times, it's always a task to figure out where everybody's room is going to be, who's going to have what spot. And sometimes it's fun to give kids a chance to choose, which room do you want? You know, this one's taken, which one of the other ones do you want? And when there's a place prepared for you, it is a good thing. So when we moved here, it was good to be able to say we have a place prepared for each of you. Pick which room you want. And so Toby chose, and then we gave one and the other. They each had a room that was prepared for them to live and stay. Well, the Lord does the same for you, but at a greater rate than we could in this life. He is prepared by your Savior, the light of the world, a place at his table, a room in his house, in his kingdom is yours. In this, you can have confidence. For your Lord has saved you, and his light will keep shining, and it will never end. For it is he who comes not only to save the people here, but to save the entire world. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.